This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. And there's more at my website, allbook-books.com. And from my most up-to-date scribblings of poems and essays, the Musings from Between the Lines Substack page, you can find that at the homepage of the website. So a variety of books that I read, I usually have a go-to quote because it stands the test of time. Unfortunately, I have to bring out this one yet again. Annie Jacobson's national bestseller, Operation Paperclip, the secret intelligence program that brought Nazi scientists to America. So she describes anti-plant, anti-man, anti-animal. That's the key phrase here in the theme for this episode, which sometimes I write essays called Koan Fragments of a Distorted World, and these are a bunch of fragments, but they all tie together. Here's the quote in Jacobson's book. Hoffman's anti-plant work in herbicides was one element of Detrick's three-part biological weapons division, the other two being anti-man and anti-animal. Anti-animal weapons were aimed at killing entire animal populations with the goal of starving to death the people who relied on those animals for food. At the locus of the U.S. anti-animal program was Operation Paperclip's Dr. Eric Traub, Dr. Kurt Blohm's deputy. Traub was recruited into the accelerated paperclip program by Blohm's handler, Charles McPherson, and arrived in America on April 4, 1949. Traub worked on virological research at the Naval Medical Research Institute in Bethesda, Maryland. Almost all of Traub's work remains classified as of 2013. At the Naval Medical Research Institute, Traub became friendly with Luftwaffe physiologist and explosive decompression expert Dr. Theodore Benzinger, whose early work for the Navy also remained classified. In addition to working for the Navy, Traub worked at Camp Detrick on anti-animal research. The agents and diseases being studied by the Detrick researchers at the time meant to decimate a specific animal population included rinderpest, hoof and mouth disease, also called foot and mouth disease, and other such. It goes on and on. So I had to look up Luftwaffe. That's the aerial warfare branch of the Wehrmacht. Before and during World War II, one of the most sophisticated. Anyway, it's a Nazi aerial warfare branch. So, okay, you know, maybe these guys were doing some good stuff, how to get rid of certain diseases and this and that. But the key words to me here, and the go-to quote of this book, is the anti-plant, anti-man, anti-animal, which just sounds ludicrous. But for a Nazi, that is the way of life, or actually the way of death. So let's look at some examples that sparked this episode. First of all, let's do the animals. Roam Free Nation, which works tirelessly to protect the wild buffalo, which that was part of the anti-animal program. I think before the Operation Paperclip, but the Plains Indians, Plains Native people, that was a deliberate U.S. tactic to wipe out the buffalo, which was almost successful. So that's why the efforts today to revive the numbers and allow the buffalo to roam free as they are meant to, many of them at least. Roam Free Nation does some wonderful work, but they recently report that in the Yellowstone so-called park, there are not only slaughters, but just out-and-out killings, and also used for bison burgers. This is a livestock industry motivated. Part of the deal is that it is not just the stereotypical white man doing it. As an article at Cowboy State Daily, bison burgers and steaks are part of Yellowstone herd management plan. So these are meant for organic bison burgers, but behind the bison burger is the Montana tribe, the Salish and Kootenai, if I pronounce that correctly, the Salish and Kootenai, Salish-Kootenai tribes in northwest Montana have the most sophisticated harvesting program, says the quote. So that's what makes it quite a challenging topic when there are actually native people doing some of that. From there, I'll go briefly again to the chicken culling now. With supposed, I had read that to be suspicious of the H5N1 bird flu. So all of a sudden, like on Long Island, they killed hundreds of thousands of ducks. And there's been this huge, I think it was hundreds of thousands. Anyway, lots of ducks and lots of birds. Now, millions of birds, I think, have been killed because they're claiming that there's some flu, but there was reported that the dangers to humans was like minimal. And there's something called natural immunity, which would allow the birds to heal at whatever rates. And similarly with the during the pandemic times, the natural immunity was not much allowed as a solution. So then I saw an article by RFK Jr. Titled, "Most of our scientists are against the H5N1 bird flu culling operation." It starts off, Robert Kennelly said this on Hannity. "They think that we should be testing therapeutics on these flocks. They should isolate them. You should let the disease go through them and identify the birds that survive, which are the birds that probably have a genetic inclination for immunity. And those should be the birds we breed, like the wild population, right? Right now, the White House strategy is to repopulate those farms that have been depopulated. We've killed 166 million chickens. I don't know who the we is, but that's why we have an egg crisis." So I'm personally suspicious that this is like the pandemic, which drove out small businesses and, prices of everything went up. That is one aspect to this. I think it's another price gouge. Because small businesses who serve breakfasts and stuff like that, that affects them. And then, big agriculture has a big, an incentive to monopolize the food system. So that's my sense of a possible reasons, but I haven't studied it in depth. But anyway, just the killing, the mass killing of the birds just seems unnecessary. So now we'll jump to an article by Dennis Kucinich, "The Genesis of Sectarian Death Squads in Syria, the Fall of Assad to U.S.-Supported Extremists and Massacre of Christians and Alawites." So ever since the Assad, who you can read positive and negative things about him, but he seemed to have some sense of popularity and fairness to all the variety of traditions that were basically getting along, as were in the Middle East before Israel was mandated. But since his overthrow, there's just unleashed chaos, as when Gaddafi was overthrown in Libya. And basically there's these extremist sort of ISIS types that are just flat out killing people. And it's just utter chaos. U.S. tax dollars, this is Kucinich's report, funneled through CIA and U.S. aid have played a pivotal role in arming and enabling extremist factions whose ascendance has resulted in atrocities. A Salafist Sunni Muslim who currently goes by the name Ahmed al-Shara lined up civilians, both Alawites and Christians, against the wall and executed them. Their crime, infidelity to Salafism, a strict interpretation of Islamic law. So this is, I don't know how much it's religion, but it's insane religion. And this is U.S.-backed, and the oil is noted. Trump even admitted years ago that the oil was a reason to go in there. So that's a whole convoluted geopolitical cluster F. Just the extremity and the grotesqueness of the extremity and the hatred, similar to the Israeli, or I should say, it's similar to the Zionist Israeli non-Jewish massacre or genocide of Palestinians in Gaza, and that's ongoing for decades. So just anything extremist is just ugly. And as well, the native populations of Turtle Island. And, over the 500 years of the Holocaust, at one point, 97.5, I think, natives were wiped out. So this is before the Nazi, but, you know, I use that word because it fits in the modern times, and it's been adopted by many. That sort of not just to mean the German form of Nazi, but this, again, anti-plant, anti-human, anti-animal, that whole anti-death cult and supremacy, domination system, whatever you label it at. But so that's why I quote using the Nazi, and as I, with a twinkle to the dark stuff, add that the pun, the Nazi, N-O-T-S-E-E, that these types do not see the humanity in each being, the beauty in each being. They do not see the beauty of plants and the medicinal levels, and they not see the beauty of the animals, such as the buffaloes, who were actually reported as mourning and grieving for their for one of the buffaloes that had been killed, which, if you didn't know already, it just proves that people say, well, do our animals have a soul or a consciousness? Well, they have deep emotions and they care for each other the same way that humans do. And then for the anti-plant, I'll reference a highly encourage people to watch this Australian documentary by Sandra Bork. It's called Dollars and Destruction: How Renewables Harm Our Farms and Cost the Earth. So they interviewed a bunch of various farmers in Australia, and this whole geopolitical multinational corporations are putting up wind turbines and solar panels and calling it renewable, but it's all about making money, and it's literally destructive to the natural habitats. There's no discussion of where the materials come from and where they go. Even the wind turbines give off like a white noise that some of the farmers can't sleep well at night, and they wear down over time. So one of them reported that it affects the air quality. Maybe some kind of, invisible particle, virtually invisible particle in the air. So all these, the hazards to human and plant and animal life, under the guise of renewable green energy. And many people are just falling for that hook, line, and sinker, because the Paris Accords or whatever it was, and the net zero and all this bullshit about what needs to be done. Maybe there's some good intentions in there, but basically it's just this corporate greed heist at the expense of Mother Earth and all beings who get affected by this. So all these different, whether it's chickens, buffalo, the native peoples, Australian farmers, all the people, if you notice the pattern, is people live with the land. The farmers know the land. The natives, indigenous people know the land. The animals know the land. And these are the types that are facing, on the front lines. And that is the gist of it's really anti-Earth. But the subsectors are plant and human and animal and others. And one thing that struck me was another article I read about the crucifixions. And there was during Roman times, and this quote, when the slave rebellion of Spartacus was defeated, about 6,000 were crucified at intervals along 100 miles of road from Rome to Capua. When Titus sacked Jerusalem, the land surrounding the city was shorn of trees to a 10-mile radius, felled to build siege towers and thousands of crosses. The whole landscape, says Josephus, became an unrecognizable waste. So after watching the film, the documentary in Australia, and seeing all the wind turbines, and it made me connect those visual dots. Trees felled to build siege towers and thousands of crosses. The whole landscape, an unrecognizable waste. Well, that's what is at stake. Those wind turbines are the modern form of the crosses. And, natural habitats and forests are being destroyed to put up such, quote, renewable systems, and it's affecting the landscape, and it's the farmers were bemoaning how what they had moved or lived there their whole lives for was, you know, in quote, unrecognizable, was virtually unrecognizable. So, to my understanding, I connect dots and I see that there's a mental derangement of wherever that comes from. You can point to the crucifixion, that mentality from Rome, and you can point to the Nazis, however, wherever you want to point to or label it, it is against the natural flow of life. And that is what seems to be one of the biggest battles of our times, is turning this tide to not get overly technologized, and how that not just affects our technology, but then how that affects our food and our energy sources. So thank you very much for listening. If you hung in there to get through the disturbing, but in my humble opinion, vitally necessary topic, hence talking about it here. So thank you much, and be well.